give you a chance to turn to what else but 1 Corinthians. I don't have a mental block on that, but I like 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Show your eyes at this time then. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I see, there you are. He that heareth us, hears God. How in the world can anybody in his right mind believe that and not believe that God could do the same thing today? How can you escape the Antichrist without something like that? I mean, it's laid right out cold turkey. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Notice the time of his betrayal, there was bread. Hebrews 6, there's a second betrayal and there's bread. Right? And it's broken bread. It's got to be broken bread because it says, anoint your eyes with eye salve. And the eye salve was a poultice. Poultice is made out of crumbs, bread. So what you got to do, you got to get the anointed word. The anointed word is broken for us at the end time so we can hear the Lord. This do in remembrance of me. So end time communion, taking the bread is significant that you have had the true bread of life broken to you, that you are outside of the church with a bride body of which Christ is the headship in a divine order. After the same manner, he took the cup and he stopped saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft you drink in remembrance of me. Now, until what time? Until we're back all here on earth. So what is he saying today? As the end time church comes in complete headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the end time world church comes in complete headship of Satan, and this anointing, liberated life that comes upon us and upon the bread, is significant that the resurrection and the millennium is right around the corner. We've entered into it actually because time and eternity have blended. Now he said, whoever then eats his bread and drinks his cup and doesn't believe this, you better examine yourself. Because you're guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, that which has happened in our day where men have crucified themselves, the Son of God, and pressed, put him in open shame, and the earth, the drunk in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot drink it in again, but it will drink in the blood of all those when the blood rises as high as the horse's bridle at the Battle of Armageddon. All these things are written here for admonition. Let a man examine himself. Examine yourself. Do you have doubts that this word is a vindicated word? Listen, you read the books and things and all the hogwash that people write today, Pentecost and everybody else about Brother Branham. You could soon begin if you didn't have answers, especially from this pulpit, because I know what went on. I was with him. You could have your hearts and your heads turned. But you better thank God that you're able to know those things that people excoriate today and they come against. They have no foundation. They're liars and the truth never was in them. And they're basing everything on upon a little superficial experience that they had as though it were something. Hogwash. What infinite stupidity. That's right. Full of lies. Let a man examine himself. How do you stand with the word? Paul's gospel preached at the end time. Living waters, reality and life. That's what we're talking about. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm still not going to change. Do what you want. I'm not going to change. Where would I start looking at the age of 75? I've looked in all the filthy, musty corners I can look in. I've been in enough churches. I've been amongst the chaff. I don't like it. Cows don't even like chaff. Lambs wouldn't go for it. The needle nose of a lamb picks between the rocks to get the live food. I'm a needle nose. I'd have a blunt nose like a cow or a horse. I'm needle nose. Eagle flies above the chickens for the fresh kill. Not interested. Well, I may be dying, which I am. Part of me's rotting, no doubt. Cell's going day by day, and I'm going down with them. So what? These bones shall rise again. Yes, sir. He takes me out of here or bring me back. That's nice. You come back with him. Interesting. Beautiful. Let a man examine himself. Under those conditions, you take the table of the Lord. The brethren come forward, they're going to play and what have you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want you to sanctify these emblems, O God, unto the nourishment of our souls by way of the truth in our minds. Not double minds, but single minds from a single eye. A life, Lord, that if not now, will one day be commensurate to it all. Grant, Lord, victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil as we partake tonight. Victory, Lord, over the flesh in the realm of sickness, O God, as people partake of these emblems, which are life signs of the true life that is in the Spirit, that's in the Word, that is in us. May it be released, O God, and may the elements therein be absorbed truly by these bodies so that the sick be healed, and many standing here will not see death, but actually go on into immortality through the gates of the millennium to the gates of the holy city. Unto thee we ascribe the glory in Jesus' name, amen. All right, start serving, that's fine. Give me a chance to read the scripture here. And instantly go into the service. Communion and foot washing. It's so good to see all you people tonight come from a distance. Really appreciate you coming. I don't preach harder or any better because you're here. Just love to see you. Makes it exciting for everybody to know we got friends that come from a distance to worship with us. Something like the, kind of like the wise men coming. All right. We'll get here in the 13th chapter of John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. In other words, there was a certain aspect of Christ's life that was now finished and go into a final phase. And no matter what happened, this was it. So now watch in the final phase what he does. After he poured water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, they wiped them with the towel where he was girded. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Peter was trying to be kind and right in what he was doing. He wasn't mouthing off here. He really meant that Jesus should not do such a thing, you know, really, because he wasn't worthy. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then notice Peter's response. He went overboard again. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only then, but also my hands and my head. See, he knew that he really needed something. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to see, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. In other words, Judas, remember Jesus' prayer was, sanctify them by thy word is truth. He said, they are sanctified by the word that I gave them. Judas was not sanctified, he was not clean. So therefore Judas could not take the word. He couldn't take the word of the hour. He couldn't take the word concerning Messiah. Couldn't do it. They can't take the word concerning the same one today. They can't do it. See, there's no way. How are they going to be clean? It's by the washing of the water by the word. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and was set down again, he said to them, know ye not what I have done? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, because I am Master and Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, look, the washing of the water of the word has made the people pure, clean, and simple, every single one. So therefore, every one of you now has the same ability that I have to give this word. That's what he's saying. All one in the word can therefore wash each other's feet because we are clean before the Lord. And he said, now look, this is a sign right there. If it was a sign back there, it's a sign today when Messiah is in our midst again, when the Holy Spirit's here, the person of Christ himself in the form of a pillar of fire is here. How much more then do we recognize that truth? We recognize the truth of the washing of the water by the word. An example to each one of us to understand that that is the truth of this hour and to do it continuously, to continuously give the word. He said, verily I said, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy to do them. I speak not to you, of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth the bread of me lift up his heel against me. Hi, because he couldn't take the word. I've told you all along, if this church has trouble, it's for one thing. You think you're taking the word and you're not. Now that's a tough statement to say. Some of you better listen to me. Because I've been watching, I've been listening, I know what I'm talking about. And I'm not here to run you down, I'm here to tell you, hey look, if you think you're kidding, you're not kidding me, how do you think you're kidding God? Now let's understand. Let's understand. You're kidding yourselves. According to what I understand, try to get across, because everything to me is word. There's nothing else. God is in his word. He is not in his holy temple. He's not in his holy church. He is not in this. He is not in that. He is in his word. You want life? You got to have that word. And it's got to be headship word. And it's going to do something to somebody and people. Maybe some of you wonder why I can do certain things. I do them because of that word. And you say, well, Brother Bill, if that's the case, you shouldn't do other certain things. You wait until tomorrow morning, you're going to find out whether it's true or not. You come back and find out. I'm not being a hypocrite standing up here, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite, and I'm going to tell you the truth. There's one thing that does it, that is this word, because there's life in that word. And that word in you and me, brother, sister, makes a difference. And you can't hide. And I can't hide. Oh, come on, brother, sister, come on. Come on, there's not time for fooling. Don't let the cares of this world and all these things choke it out. No, 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 no. Listen, foot washing is a very important thing. It acknowledges the great washer by water, the word. It acknowledges I'm accepted. It acknowledges the acceptation. Based on the word, a servant not greater than his Lord. You ought to do it. You see, Satan won't do that. Satan will miss foot washing every time. Because he wants to be greater than his Lord. He doesn't like it. Now he said, I told you things that come to pass. You'll know when they do come to pass. And then next thing Jesus did was he gave them the Lord's Supper. Which is what we intend to do at this time. Not talk about it because we've talked about it many, many other times. So the brethren just come up here now. Those who are going to take the song service. Those who are going to play, what have you. And the rest of us will please stand at this time, will you? And will you start coming from the back? As soon as I finish praying, will you start coming from the back? Heavenly Father, once more we want to pray. Sanctify these emblems, O gracious eternal God, to the purpose wherever they were intended. Not, O God, that they in themselves will mean anything of themselves, but because they mean something in the divine, the word, the command of God. Then, Lord, we doing it will mean something to us. We're not just hoping, we're counting on it, Father. But otherwise, it's just a motion. And I do not see any motion you went through. I do not see one thing in Scripture. I do not see one thing today that is just a motion. No way, shape, and form. This is not just a motion. This is not just a passing time. Nor is it just emotions. But in there lies the truth of what you said here, O God. We're showing something. We're believing something. And then, Lord, if we can't do it in good conscience and good faith, I pray in the next 30 seconds there won't be one person who cannot do it. So, Father, forgive each one and help each one, we pray. We stand here with every person here tonight, Lord, to have a clean heart and a clear soul. and also an obedience of faith unto the word. Of that respect, O God, to you and your word which you dwell in, and to each one, Lord, in whom we trust there is. All of us, Lord, looking forward to that day. We're coming together, working together, O God. We shall be, Lord, approved of you, not approved of men, which we care not. Bless the emblems now, we pray again, as we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, there be those who are in need a good night's rest, having driven a long time today. We pray, Father, that you'll give them that good rest tonight, Lord. We know what it is to be able to go to bed at times and sleep and just seem to make up, Lord. We pray that that's it'll be tonight, Father. You said there's coming a day when the harvester would catch up to the sower, and vice versa, Lord. We can say the same with sleep. We believe that people drove themselves hard and all, yet you can make good tonight the sleep that they have needed to catch up for even for a day or so. Bless each one, Father, tonight to go home also to have a spirit of rest and tranquility upon them, the love of God in their souls and their hearts and minds, especially with this word to see we stand steadfast, knowing, Lord, that we're not going to be able to do anything without that word. With that word, Lord, living in us, all things are possible. So be with us as we go. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. And I think everybody knows pretty well how we come to the table, Lord. We come around the back, the very back at this, and they come up and around. And the rest just keep following in turn as we go. In the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I have received the Lord, verse 23, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he had betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And of course, that doesn't just, as we realize tonight more than ever, that doesn't just mean the positioning on the cross and the suffering therefrom, but actually what they called chastisement, which was given to all people considered criminals, even when they were innocent, because the idea was that if you even had somebody suggest something about you, there must be something you did, and then therefore you should be punished, which is not true. It's a very, very strange thing to come out of any generation. But it was, as they said, those ones who, some would deliberately try to kill him even before he got to the cross. And there are those who suggested that because they feel that Satan was illuminated concerning what Christ was going to do, and therefore he would try to kill him. Satan said, did Jesus jump off the temple, figuring he could kill himself and then get him out of the way? That would be then to stop him from going to the cross for sins. That is guesswork. I would never agree with it unless we had a prophet to say that that's the way it was. We don't know. So we leave it. But his body was broken, but no bones were broken. How you would break a person's leg to hasten his death, I don't know. I would suggest a club on the head would be far greater to make sure a person dies. I suppose you do hasten a person's death breaking his legs because the agony is intensified, and I think that's what they had in mind. It's a most cruel situation to look at. It's actually very, very horrifying. After the same manner, he took the cup which he supped, saying, when he supped, saying, this cup is a new testament of my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And we look tonight again at what the death accomplished. That is what we're looking at. Looking at the fact, no matter which way you look, no matter what you examine in the Word of God, there is only one outcome, and that is immortality. And all that goes with it, and the excellence, and the infinite abilities of God. We haven't got, really, what you might say, a clue to what this is all about. But if we believe it, and of course we're called fools to do it, but I believe we have vindication. Others don't like my vindication. I don't like their non-vindication. If they're happy to go through and meet God without vindication, that's their business. I mean, look, just because some people don't like bread and butter and jam, especially toast, don't tell me I can't have it. That's a religious world. They're so ridiculous. They're so pitiful. Then why do they even bother to take the Lord's Supper? It's got to be a gimmick. Maybe because there's money in it. I'm sure there is. You get people together to take the Lord's Supper, you pass the plate. If you don't, why would they do it? They don't believe it. You know, I'm saying this for a purpose, to get us to understand that we are very unique and privileged people. Many people may do this, but in whose remembrance? They don't even know him. They didn't know him back there. What makes people think they'll know him today? Really? You think we're different from the Jews? Come on, there's no difference. Bob said there's no difference. It's a tragic thing. I trust God will deepen our understanding because we need it to enter into the solemnity, the seriousness, and the greatness of what God has done. But he has left us this little memorial service. And I trust that we will be those who are worthy. Actually, when it boils down to being worthy, you wouldn't start with saying, well, I think I'm a very fine person. Now, that's good. I really believe that I walk right. That's good. But my question is this, if you didn't believe right in what this is about, why would you do it? Well, come on. You never got a telephone call by dropping a quarter into a post office box. That's right. How would you get what's behind this to work? If you're aiming in the wrong direction, it would be useless. You're going through the motions. To deposit a quarter in the wrong place doesn't mean it's going to work. To take communion of the Lord doesn't mean it's going to work just because you take it. It's what's behind it. See, this is the thing that we stand for in this church. I appreciate brethren like us who stand for it in their churches and ready to die for it if necessary. We are not formal people who simply have a ceremony and say, well, we did it. Why? We understand, I believe, why we take this. We see tonight from medical records even how true it is. Many people are weak and sick because they don't really get to what's back of it all. What is behind it all. Not historical. It's no longer historical. It is vital in living. All right. Let us take then the communion of the Lord tonight, foot washing, understanding the things of the Lord shall be rise at this time. Let the brethren come forward. Those who are going to play, come forward. And you'll have help. People know how we serve here. And you just follow each person in turn from the back. They come around and go back to your seat. And others just start following section after section. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your grace and mercy extended toward us at this time. In the Lord, we have had such a rich revelation given to us. And not only that, Lord, but even as men's minds have expanded with the knowledge that has been given by that which is here on earth, and you've allowed men to examine it and set it forth, even all of this points to the end time, that we are right at the very verge, Lord, of this hour, when the resurrection will take place, and we thank you for it. And as we partake of these endless night, Lord, we may be very, very serious and very knowledgeable in the grace and the power and the love and the things of our great God and Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that we're not partaking in vain, Lord, but in a reality. And then, Lord, may it come forth even in a greater way as we go on, Lord, within the revelation and the understanding of each part of it, Father. We commend ourselves tonight, and as we do, we say, Lord, forgive us every single sin that we've committed, Father. Anything that lies in our hearts and minds, Lord, we know our dispositions and those other elements therein. We pray, Lord, you'll just forgive us for even being ourselves, as it were, Lord, and those things that have accrued to us over the time. And we may stand here, Lord, as Brother Branham said, the perfect, virtuous, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, completely washed with the eradication of sin because the blood has washed away every evidence of sin. And where there's no sin, then there can be no sinner. Stand in this truth tonight, Lord, and then take these emblems in appreciation, knowing that that's what they stand for. We give you the glory for this in Jesus Christ's name, amen. we always and almost always go to the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And we just read concerning the table of the Lord where Paul has to give a rebuke because these people came to the table of the Lord and they went away in worse shape than when they came. You know, that's what Cain did. He came to the table, to the altar. He went away in worse shape when he came. See, he tried to worship God, and the worship wasn't there because the communion of sonship wasn't there. Now, put it down and understand it. Well, come on. Is this too hard to understand? Is this something too oblique, too much over our heads to know the truth? Those that stand around Jesus worshiping are sons. Those that bring their glory in are from the same cloth, but of a different pattern. Who made the difference? God did. Who's to tell him he made a mistake? Nobody can tell he made a mistake. Because he doesn't make mistakes. When you say what Brother Branham said, he said, why God knew how many fleas there would be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, how many take to make a pound of tallow. Hey, listen, that's putting it where I just give up. God knows everything. He does everything. I said, what's in the world? Who cares what's out there? I want to know what he said about me. If you and I are brothers and sisters, and we are all children of old John D. Rockefeller, thank God we're not. Probably see God with being a Baptist. You know, that's not the best. If we sat down here, what would we be listening for? Listening to what he left in the will. Now we might come around because we're curious. Envious. I don't like that. If I'm left out of the will, don't even tell me. I don't want to know what I missed. But if I'm in the will, I want to know. These guys here came to the Lord's table professing the Melchizedek high priest, son of the King of Righteousness, King of Peace, encounter with God and said, we're going to the millennium. And what they did was so far from the truth and where their faith lay, they left in worse shape than when they came. Now, let's say they did that for 2,000 years. Come on. Roman Catholic Church, Greek Orthodox, Anabaptist, 2,000 years of error. What shape? Oh, come on. Well, I know you're nice, sweet people. Well, you see, Brother Vail, God forgives. And every generation is a different generation. I'm glad you said that. Because I want to read you something. It ain't true. I know you didn't say it because you wouldn't be so foolish. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you'll kill and crucify, and some of them scourge in your synagogues, and persecute in the city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. What about it? What about it? What about it? I gave her space to repent. I'll burn her and her children. What about? Unbelief. They came to the Lord's Supper, the table of God, and it compounded. It compounded until they hid behind gifts. Pentecost. But he said, I never knew you. Now what you thought would give you a credit has given you a debit. This is what Paul said. I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take ye, this is my body which is broken unto you, this do in remembrance of me. Now Paul said, you take a word or add a word, He says something wrong. So this is the complete truth. Same manner he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, so oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now that absolutely has nothing to do with the parousia. The parousia is the coming before he comes. Do you know that Jesus was high priest before he's high priest? Sure was. You know he was a lamb before he was a lamb? He died before he died? Go on, read your Bibles. Kind of hard to talk like God, doesn't it? Now you can make up your mind. If God is pleased with my preaching tonight, or whether he isn't. Because the Bible said God was listening to how people talk one to another. And I'm talking to you. He didn't listen to their prayers, they weren't praying. And he said, a certain people talked a certain way, they said the certain thing. And he said, those are mine. That's 2 Thessalonians. Paul's preaching here. He said, listen, as oft ye eat this and drink this, you show the death. Now back there, in Genesis 12, there wasn't any death. In other words, Christ was crucified from before the foundation of the world. The plan of God was going into effect. He's going to get all his children with him. And it didn't matter how it was going to happen. It was going to happen. And this is where you and I have our eyes tonight. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to us. Taking these emblems signify the means that God used to make it happen. I cannot fathom it. There's no use me crying. There's no use trying to make myself emotional like I used to do years ago, though I am plenty emotional. It won't work. Because either God's in it or he's not in it. And if he's in it, that's it. He didn't ask me about it. I didn't ask him about it. Abraham never asked him. He didn't ask Abraham. Of all people have I chosen you. What are you going to do? You listen to what he said. You just believe what he said. Now, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now listen. Those who... Let me get it for you. And I read it right. Why don't they just kind of boondoggle it through by a poor quote? Listen. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. All right, here's what it tells you. The sacrifice of Jesus is legitimate. There it is. But if you don't believe the truth about it, it doesn't do you one bit of good. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, you people have come to the place where you absolutely are taking these emblems without a correct knowledge. Which knowledge can only come by the Holy Spirit as a revelation to you as I preach it. Now, see, you go through the actions. And you will be accountable. Now, Brother Branham said nobody should take the emblems until they're full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It means that you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism because you believe this vindicated message. You believe nothing else. Because the Holy Spirit is in the Word. And as you pile word upon word upon word, more and more you're filled with the Holy Ghost, whether you believe it or not. This is what the Bible teaches, the vindicated prophet said it. So he said, if you drink unworthily, you're guilty. The sacrifice doesn't do any good. Everything that is against you comes upon you. But if you believe, everything it stands for is in your favor. And one day, you'll sit with him and partake. You know, many people said, well, we don't take communion anymore because we believe in the presence. Hey, man, you're talking something. Come out of your gird. You don't understand the doctrine. You don't understand Godhead. There's something wrong somewhere. They even took the same thing and said, well, the second coming's over. They say, I believe that. The second coming is not over. That's part of the seventh seal. That's the hidden part that nobody knows. The part we do know is Revelation 10:1-7. Now you see how you can partake of the Lord's Supper? Because deep calleth to deep. In other words, everything, the death, the shedding of blood, accomplished right now is here before us. Standing right before the white throne. If you are, and he's justified you, then you're standing literally in New Jerusalem, because God calls those things which are not as though they were. Abraham stood right there, and he called those things which are not as though they were, and they were. So, all right, let a man examine himself. And then eat and drink. How you can examine yourself? That's what I believe. I've been a wicked person. Who hasn't? Well, I've been a wonderful person. That's great. No problem there. How do you believe this message? Well, I really don't. You're an unbeliever. Tomorrow I'll read you something. Oh, something that's going to be a shocker. Right here, be under my book. I'll have time. It'll be a real shocker. What's going on? The subtlety of the enemy, like Brother Brandon told us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. At this hour. You know why? The Son of Righteousness could be rising upon us, giving us more and more health as we believe this message. Is there a lack of believing this message in this building? When I preached perfect faith, people got healed. Many people, different people, I would say many, many, but quite a few got healed. I can tell you one thing, there's no such thing as a woman dragging herself in a furrow where she can't look out. With Candida and Epstein-Barr, and the next morning, be super healthy without God doing something. Ask Margie. Aaron doesn't get healed just by accident. Pete didn't get healed just by accident. Maris didn't get healed just by accident. And we could name others. Is how you apply this word to your life in faith. See? If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. How do you judge yourself? Casting down every reasoning. Approach the table tonight with perfect faith in the Word of God. See, look, live or die, sink or swim. Right or wrong, I'm taking because I believe this message. I don't know if I believe it all 100% right, but I want to believe it 100% right. I know one thing, Brother Branham was right. I might understand it, but he is right. Every time I've used that phraseology, God's come to my rescue. When I say, when was he wrong? He never was wrong. Right away, the answer came coming through just like a cutting through a light from a projector shining on a screen. Let's rise. The brethren come forward. The server is going to serve. The others who are going to play, you come right along here. And you know how we come. You come from the very back, from the south over there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness tonight, that you give us your word, Lord. And though it might come seemingly hard to some people, it's not meant to be hard, Lord. And yet, if a sword is not made out of tempered steel, you might as well just have a cucumber in your hand. So I wouldn't do any good, Lord. So if we're wrong in any way in our attitudes or form, whatever, we pray you forgive us. Calm our spirits down, O Lord God. And help us to be one with your word as we come forward tonight. Knowing that the washing of water by the word to present a bride spotless is what we're talking about tonight. And therefore we can come, we should come, we must come to partake in faith. Knowing, Lord, that what you haven't revealed, and we must know, you will reveal. Even as it was progressive with Abraham, even with your son, it's progressive with us. And we're coming more and more into that image. Unto thee we give the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I have two brethren serving the wine and just one serving the bread, so you can come by and on the table moved out. That way we'll be a little faster to get through that service. Not we're trying to rush anything, but we have a bit of a bottleneck. I think the ones in front will be instructed to come with those who play the piano, would have you. He'll tell you how it's done. In the meantime, I think we'll just go back to the Gospel of John. And we're reading there concerning the foot washing and the table of the Lord, beginning at verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, Paul had the same type of love. He said, I'd like to go and get away from here, but he said, I think it's better that I stay for your sake. And it's a fact here that Jesus loved them to the end, although he wanted to go back to the Father. He prayed, you know, later on, give me the glory I had with you. Or he prayed that back in 12, but over there in John 17, he prays again in the garden to have that position. And then, of course, we're told in Philippians the position has even been exalted, which it has been. But he loved the people, and he wanted to be with them. But, of course, he couldn't stay with them. The supper being ended, the devil and I put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in hand, that he was come from God and went to God, rise from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water in the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. To wipe in the towel where he's girded, then cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, why do you wash my feet? What's going on here? And Jesus answered and said, What I do you don't know now, but later on you will be able to know. And Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now he just cut him off. Then watch Simon go overboard again. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand, my head, my hands, and my head. And Jesus said, there you are. You're shooting off your mouth again. You're going overboard. You see, this is the thing that people simply can't understand, is don't go overboard. Don't add, don't take. See? Just like a guy years ago, Joe Coleman, he said, in several months, he said, the Pope is going to come to America. That was thus saith the Lord. A whole lot of months went by, and the Pope didn't come. You remember that? You. So I said to a certain guy, I said, hey, Coleman's a false prophet. He got mad at me. Well, he said, several months. I said, hey, bud, how much is several? He looked at me. I said, 12 months in a year, right? He said, yeah. I said, I got 12 apples. I said, here, son, take several. And you take 9. I said, hey, boy, you pigged out. That's more than several. That's 9 out of 12. You put 3 back. And I say, hey, that's 50%. That's not several. Get the point? I said, how about 3? If looks could have killed you, they killed me. He couldn't do it, so he went home and abused his mother-in-law. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I think he understands that fellow now prophesied off the top of his head or out of a heart that wasn't right with God. The Pope's dead. I don't think the Pope came back even. I don't know. Hey, that Pope is dead anyway. He blew it. Always going overboard. What does Brother Branham say? Don't add and don't take. It means don't go overboard. He told us. He compared himself to Luther. He said, the historian said concerning Luther, they weren't marveling that he could protest the Catholic Church successfully. What they marveled at, he could keep his head above fanaticism. In other words, don't go bonkers. Don't add, don't take away. Just what it says. Peter, you just stop that nonsense. See? Then Jesus said, he that washed needeth not save to wash feet, his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Now, you are clean, but not all. Do you think for 1 minute that Judas was an actual son of God? No. He was no son of God that suddenly went fuzzy and haywire and betrayed him. Who do you think killed Abel? Who is the killer? The betrayer? Satan and his seed. So who are the clean ones? The 11 elected. Like Brother Branham said, someday you're going to find out you weren't saved that day at all. You always were saved. There's a lot of mysteries in this book. He said right here, hey, he said, Peter, come on, come on. He said, cool it, man. Just come on, calm down, calm down. I'm washing your feet. Can't you just let it go with that? Water baptism. Oh, says somebody, oh, when I got baptized, hallelujah, the heavens opened, and I got gifts, and I got that, and I got this, and I got that thing. Another guy said, oh, when I got oil in my hands, it changed my life. Why don't you cool it and shut up? Find that in the Word of God. Amen. See, that's why people are all messed up. You just simply can't take what it says. Got to add to it or take from it. Water baptism ain't nothing. But an answer of good conscience toward God, it wipes away nothing. Amen. Now why are they trying to make it something? Regeneration of baptism, this and that. Try to make foot washing this. Try to make Lord's Supper this. Try to make it something else. Why don't you do what it says? See? So after he'd washed their feet and taken his garment, sat down again, he said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me Lord and Master. You say, well, for so I am. And I then your Lord and Master washed your feet. You also ought to wash one of his feet. In other words, something everybody does. Now you go to the Catholic Church, what does the priest do? He gives you the wafer and drinks the wine. And there's 400 people there, he'll get drunk and hoot out. Well, the truth or not the truth? I thought everybody took wine and water and the bread. Well, why do you want to change things? What's the big deal? It says here, if I am your Lord and Master, and he that's greatest of all, a servant of all, everybody ought to be willing to do something for somebody because the love of God constrains us. So washing feet doesn't make anybody big, anybody small. It levels everybody. Who's the great one in our midst? God's the great one in our midst. Not especially Zoe here. Now don't think that for 1/5 of a second. The great one in the midst of the bride, wherever the bride is. The purified, I can't see it, I don't know what it is. I wouldn't look for it in this building. I wouldn't believe it would be here, but someplace else. But he's here, amongst his bride. The great leveler. That's all he's saying here. Wash each other's feet. See? For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done. Then he said, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy that I do them. Just simple. Foot washing. Command to God. Same with the Lord's Supper, command to God. And I believe like Brother Branham, everybody that does it should be full of the Holy Ghost. And the only evidence I know of being full of the Holy Ghost is to believe this is the only message there is. Because the only vindicated one. You say, Brother Bale, they all get it out of here. I don't care if they do. How do you think they crucified Jesus? Getting it out of here. Yeah, no problem. Where do you think these guys get this polygamy stuff? Right out of Brother Rand's messages. It ain't in there. No, it never was in there. Polygamy always has been with us. It's always been polygamy. But God doesn't want it. Anyway, that's it. Simple as ABC. Let's rise this night. Now, if the brethren come forward ready to serve here, we'll ask the Lord to bless the emblems. And the Lord will tell you exactly how to do what we're going to do here because they'll move the table out. Those who are supposed to come forward, you come on forward this time. Before we pray. Heavenly Father, at this time, Lord, we just take the simple things that you told us to do. We're not questioning adding. As far as we know, we don't want to embellish anything. Make something that's not. But realize, Lord, this is something you told us to do. And we're doing it just as the prophet did it. to take the communion, the bread and the wine, and then, Lord, to wash each other's feet. And that's what it is. And so we do it tonight, Father, and we're glad we can do it because you told us to do it. And we know, Lord, when you tell us to do something, we do it. That's a reward in itself. That's the way it should be. So grant tonight, Lord, your blessing upon each and every one. May every heart, Lord, tonight look to you for the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the washing of the water by the word to separate us right into a knitted, tight, little, unified group of bride here in this place, Lord. Not that there aren't others scattered out there. We believe that, Lord. Certainly we do. But, Lord, here to love you and then to honor you by doing what you told us to do, and we do it. We give thee the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Sanctify us all, the emblems whatsoever is done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your kind mercy and love to us, Lord. We just pray now as we go that we might go, Lord, with the word filling our hearts, and may it be, Father, as you said in your own scripture through Jesus Christ, that some seed fell into good ground and it brought forth 30, 60, and 100, Father. We pray tonight that there shall not be any amongst us but is good ground, Lord, to cherish this word, and it might come forth, first of all, in that great passive and wonderful faith that we have in your works, Lord, in you, yourself, and all that you've attained for us. And then may there come forth whatever else there should be in an act of faith, Lord. Those things we can do and assuredly, Lord, not only must do, but we will do by your grace. Keep us humble, Lord, and sweet and kind, and bring us back to more, Lord, to be more united than ever with you and with each other, that we may receive the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. I appreciate that very much. Part of the church order, most people do not wash feet. It's too bad they don't, but they're supposed to. Now, you'll notice in John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was coming, he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, you see here that Jesus is going to do something because of his great love for those with whom he'd have this fellowship. See, he loved them all along. And now this is a little peculiar, you'll understand, that this is going to be a great act of love. He loved them right to the end. Now he's going to do something. So this very peculiar thing he does, loving them right to the end, supper being ended, the devil now, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now remember, at the end time, they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. Amen. So there's got to be a betrayal again. Got to betray the word. Now they're doing it now by writing all kinds of lies about Brother Branham. And I say, hop to it. They've told enough about me, so let them tell something on him now. Just spare the goodies. Just spread them around. You're going to hear more and more lies about the man. More and more stories that are patently false and ridiculous. It's got to be. You understand? It's got to be. A prophet cannot be anything but destroyed as far as the people are concerned. They killed John the Baptist. They sawed asunder Isaiah. Poor old Jonah just turning his back on the Lord, got swallowed by a whale. I don't say the Sanhedrin did that. Daniel got thrown in the fiery furnace. You know, you just don't have it easy. See? So now, at the time, there's got to come a time of betrayal. Amen. One of the last things Brother Brandon did is talk about love to the people and the communion and fellowship. So, all right, Judas is going to betray him. Time to be sold down the river. The word of God, sold down the river. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, that he's come from God, went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water in a basin, began to wash his feet, to wipe him with the towel where he's girded. He comes to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? What's going on here? And Jesus said, what I do now, Peter, you do not know, but you will know down the road later on. And Peter said, no, it isn't right. There's no way that I can let you do it. It's not that I don't love you, I really love you, but I couldn't let somebody of your caliber do that, your stature do that. So Jesus had to set him straight. Just like Paul set Peter straight. He's a guy that needed quite a lot of comfort. He said, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, uh-uh. If I wash thee not, you've got no part in me. Then watch him go overboard. Lord, then not my feet only, my hands and my head. There's a man that knew how to repent. He apologized for what he said to Paul. He came right around. That's a great fellow, that fellow Peter. Wonderful man of God. Wonderful person. Jesus then said, no, now hold it. You're overboard again. Don't swing the pendulum all the way back. He said, come to center. He that is washed need not save to wash. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. There's one person that's not right. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and taken his garments, was set down again. He said to them, know ye not what I have done to you? You call me Lord and Master. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, the verily, the servant is not greater than the Lord. Neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. For if you know these things, happy are you that do them. So, all right, we have the Lord's Supper connected with foot washing. And Jesus positively gave us these ordinances within the Christian church as a final act of his love. Now, that may not seem interesting. It may not seem intelligent. And I'm not going to try to explain it. But the fact is, this was his last act of love in this particular area of being with them. Because from this point on, you will find with the betrayal that everything begins to get scattered. So while they are together, he does this wonderful act of love, which is to wash their feet. And he said, now look, he said, you do the same thing with each other in commemoration of my great act of love, my sincerity and my rightness. I came from the Father, I go back. This is typical then of everything you attribute to me. And they might have said, well, hey, I think you could have done something else, but he didn't. See, that's the simplicity of believing. Can we believe that this one, in his last moments, instituted communion and foot washing as an act of commemoration, an act of his love, and this is what he wants us to do. Now, if we really believe that, there's going to be a spiritual blessing here because he said, look, the cleaning is very, very necessary. There's something terribly necessary about this commandment, about this ordinance. It's very, very vital to you. So do not hold it lightly. Do it because it's very valuable. It's necessary in my plan and in the things which I've set before you. So many people give so many interpretations, and there I've used many myself, taking Brother Branham, what have you. But I just wanted to leave this thought here that they at that time, I know they didn't realize that this was necessary. It was important. It was something that was valuable and valued. So I want to just impress on that tonight. When we take the supper of the Lord, we understand that's the shed blood. We understand the broken body. We understand the life coming back upon us. We also understand this, that this actually, in the light of the rest, shows there is something that you and I have this to do with each other, wherein we had nothing to do with the shedding of the blood. The broken body. That's something that God did entirely. But in here, we show our faith and our part of the great plan that God set before us. Let's rise at this time, shall we? The brethren come forward to serve, and they'll help you how to come around the side and up front here, and we'll have two lines in order to expedite the service. And then as the women go out, there's foot washing in the hall out there. The men simply come back to their seats, and there'll be foot washing immediately afterward. So that's fine. Those, of course, who play, you come right along here because we're going to need you to take the emblems first, and then you can take your part where you're supposed to take your part. Are we ready? Just bow our heads in prayer. The Heavenly Father, this particular part of the service, we're in the Lord, having loved his own, loved them to the end, and then did this which even wrought questions in the mind of Peter, even if he could voice them. The others seemingly were silent. Judas gone out. But Lord, they didn't understand the many things we don't understand. But if you say, it's written in your word, that this is what you did in the final part, that life that you loved and were in, ready to give yourself, then Lord, we also know this is what we ought to do and we do it. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Bless the emblems to us, Lord, we pray, O living God. So it is not just a matter of taking something, but realizing what it stands for. And realizing also the life that has come back upon us even to the extent, Lord, that you can be here now with healing in your wings. What a magnificent testimony to the blood. When we see what's in the world, Lord, and you mark it so clearly in your word that it's there, and we see it so clearly that it's in the world, it makes your grace all the more wonderful and makes us realize that circle of blood causes sin to vanish until there be no sign of it, making us non-sinners, Lord. Couldn't make a man sinner when the blood has scattered the sin. Thank you, Lord, for these things you allow us to do. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lloyd will help you here and give you an understanding if you need it. Tomorrow's service at 10 o'clock. We start a half an hour earlier because so many people have to leave in the afternoon to get home. We appreciate your attendance tonight and trust some good has been done to you. Starting in the mind, the anointed word, down into the soul, which we know someday is going to accomplish what Eve failed to do. She could have had the word fulfilled in her, but she didn't do it. But tonight, there are those who will, for she praised God. Let's rise and be dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you. All right. You know. But your rapture hasn't taken place anyway, so. You know, you just keep on working. All right, we're going to go, before the foot washing in communion, we're going to go here to the book of John. I believe it's the 13th chapter. And this is where it tells us in those first few verses concerning the supper that they had. And it was an ordinary supper, of course. And tells you how that Jesus washed their feet. Now, the second verse, it says, supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hands, he was come from God and he went to God. He rise from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After he had poured water into a basin, began to wash inside his feet, to wipe them with the towel with his girded. And then cometh Simon Peter and said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash not thee, what? Thou wash thee not, there's no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head and hands. And Jesus said, he that's washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down again, he said, know ye what I have done to you. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Well, now, what I'm looking at here is this foot washing ceremony is one that followed their acknowledgement of his revelation that he was their Lord and Master. He said, you call me Lord and Master, and that's exactly true because I am that. Now, the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So in this last day, foot washing is especially applicable because hardly anybody washes feet, and those that do wash it, they just simply say, well, it's something the Lord commanded, and so therefore you do it, and that's true. If that's the furthest you get, that's perfectly good. But we saw over here previously that Jesus said concerning him that having loved the world, he loved his own which were in the world. So it has to do then with the very love of God himself. And you know, there wouldn't be any greater love that God could ever bestow upon anybody than actually for the Lord to give that person the revelation of himself that he is Lord. Now, these people here, Jesus said, now you have recognized, you've acknowledged me, you know who I am, and in turn, I am acknowledging you. So, it's an awful lot like the baptism with the Holy Ghost, where Brother Branham said, if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, you really shouldn't be partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's really something for the blood-washed, the Spirit-filled people, because this is what it is all about. So, when you look at this, You can also see that though this might come to us as a very common thing, something a little different, a little peculiar, but very mundane and kind of funny in the way that it's different. You wash each other's feet and so on. What it really means. Well, as I say to me, in that hour, it meant, as I look at it, that which I have said. He recognizes a true revelation in them. He recognizes that He is their Lord and Master. They having recognized that they are His. And so the foot washing has taken real effect. It was a genuine, pertinent ceremony. All right. You've got the same thing in this hour. You've got the very same thing. The Lord Himself shall descend Him the shouts. Well, the days of the Son of Man proves the literal fact that it's the same Jesus who is here in flesh, has come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, is doing identically to what He did when He was here in the flesh, proving who He is, and we, what are we doing? We are actually sealing to ourselves this Lordship by recognizing. Now notice Jesus answering back, I am your Lord. What did He answer back to? Their confession. Now look at it. Let's be honest. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If He ain't Lord of all, He ain't Lord at all. Hey, what about that? Ha, that's the devil. Oh, that's, that man Branham. Here they all get kooky. As soon as God does something by somebody, he goes out of his gourd. Same thing in Dowie. Everybody's the same. Are they? I didn't know that. I thought Elijah had to come. Jesus said, all that came before me and said that he was the Christ. He said, they're thieves, robbers, and liars. But he came anyway. What about this one today? So you see, foot washing can have a much more greater meaning than just the idea of once you're truly born again, all you got to do is come and get a little cleansing, you know, by confession, this and that. I say, since he's the same yesterday, day, and forever, and Alpha is Omega, the instituting or the institution of foot washing at that time, based upon their understanding of who it was, his speaking back to them, and he, now watch, cleansing, nourishing, leading them right in to the kingdom. You put that on our level. What is the thing he will do when he comes back? Lead us right to the kingdom. Acknowledging our testimony. So foot washing is not just an ordinary little thing in the Bible. Not to me it isn't. It means we witness to him and he witnesses back to us. And you know that's what John said. When you witness to him, he'll witness back. Brother Branham said it. There's got to be an answer back. That's the way Brother Branham was. In other words, there's a vindication. And foot washing is what you might say then, in my understanding, a type of it all. It's a very blessed sacrament that has been left us. It's right in there with the communion of the emblems of the Lord's table, the broken bread and the wine. And it is a commandment no less given to us than was communion. That's true. You have one, you should have the other. Now, let's go a little further. I didn't read it tonight. Brother Branham talks about a man and his word being the same thing. But I'll ask the question. How can anybody really constitute him Lord outside of his word? Because you don't know what he wants as being Lord outside of his word. Unless a man communicates and tells you. The whole structure begins to crumble. Then we're right back where Brother Branham took us. Where Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Oh, this, that. Well, who do you say? I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed you, Simon, but my Father is in heaven. And upon the confession of the revelation, I will build my church. Church and revelation. And so at this end hour, I just commend us all tonight to not have just thoughts of a ceremony, something to run through. That's not what we're here for. But it's to stay with the Word, obey Him in foot washing and communion, and know that it's something that God wanted. And we are doing it not because it's simply something that God wanted. And it's not something that our fathers have done. It is because we're the blood-washed, born-again children of God with the true revelation of this hour. We are walking with the Lord as He wants us to. Let's rise at this time then. The brethren, please come forward, are going to serve. And when it comes to receiving the emblem of the shed blood, the table is pulled out so you can have a stream of people going by on both sides. Two cups are there. It makes it much easier for us to continue our service with the lady starting foot washing in the back. And you all know how we do it here. So let us bow our heads in prayer, and as we do, remember those that are going to serve by playing, and all you will be the first ones and come forward. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank You for the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which we know Brother Branham said was the Word, being the conduit of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Lord, it may not be too manifest, and it may not be as though we seem to have that great measure of love as we wanted. But long, Lord, as we have that Word, we know that love will be there. Help us, Father, to take away everything out of our lives tonight that would hinder that love that is in the Holy Spirit, that's in the Word, from coming forth amongst us, Father. Until that blessed love is in us in such a way, Lord, as to be truly manifest, the sweet Spirit of Christ come in our very midst. And Lord, we have the sick healed amongst us, even as the prophet said. Gifts as they were, as on the shelf. Lord, we know no gifts taken away from us, but we know that there's something supersedes it all. And we, Lord, we're believing at that time. We're not trying to get out of anything, Father, either, to say, well, it's gone. Lord, we don't believe that, because we're very happy with anything that You give us. Anything, Lord, You do for us. But we're not going to be carried away from what the prophet taught us. These things, Father, we believe in our hearts and have set our minds to. So we go through this service then. We pray, Lord, that You receive us in witnessing to You that this is where we stand. We're standing with You as when You were here upon earth in flesh. And now we're standing with You now that You're here in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, having brought us the Word, waiting now to raise the dead and call us together to take us out of here to the great marriage supper and incarnation where we crown You King of King and Lord of Lords. Surely, Lord, such a simple thing to do in honor of You. We can all do it and be glad we can do it. Unto Thee we give the glory. Sanctify, therefore, the entire process of these rites of washing the feet, Lord, the giving and taking the bread and the wine, and, Lord, doing the work that You said it would. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Father, we pray now You go with us to our various homes, Father, and may we have a good night's rest. May we put all our cares upon You, Lord, even as we trust You exclusively by the blood to forgive us our sins, O God. And as we realize that no one but the Holy Spirit can help us, may we believe that tonight, that You do help us, You do take us through, that we are established in You. All these things, Lord, that You said about us in our hearts, we want to receive, God. We pray tonight that we shall receive them, Lord. Put it to Your credit, which is true, that You are true. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Amen.